Investor Insights time. We try to find little nuggets of knowledge, little nuggets of opportunity that might be beneficial, but also things you need to be aware of. What do we have, Nicolette?
All right. I want to start off with synthetic identity fraud. In fact, I was reading a document from LexisNexis, and they're speaking about how a lot of identity fraud these days is actually done through the synthetic approach, right? And it accounts for 80% of the current identity fraud. But I guess a lot of people don't really know what synthetic identity fraud is. And I think it's that thing of throwing away documents in your bin. It's that thing of logging in at public internet cafes. Because that always...
Public Wi-Fis as well. So there's an interesting thing where hackers are able to use a device that logs into these public networks. Now, you and I approach a public network as, oh, look, it's free internet. I don't have data.
Yes.
Let me jump on here.
Yes.
But there's an ability to hack those free internets and all of that. And it's always in the public spaces because you never know how many people are connected to it, who's managing that, who's administrating any of that.
Yeah.
And they can hack into that and then they can get access to your device from that perspective. So that's one thing. We don't see it as prevalent in South Africa, but it is a very serious thing. But the synthetic identity fraud side of it is effectively from information, right? Information, right now, the world we live in, information is currency. So as you said, the things around the papers that I have at home, they've got my physical address on them. They've got my surname on them. They've got all of those things there. And you see companies like banks and stuff saying, start having your statements sent to you via email and all of that. And we live with, I think we live with multiple generations, previous generation parents, grandparents and stuff that don't trust the internet as much, and they're very cautious.
Yes.
So they keep all of their information this way. But sometimes that generation is also easily targeted because they don't want to come into the digital space, but you have to with bank cards and all of that stuff. So you have to have a digital profile and a digital presence. And the synthetic identity fraud comes from someone assuming your data and taking that data and impersonating
in
a way that is basically you. So right down to the fact that someone will take your ID number
and then blend it with other information.
Or they'll so they'll take the ID number, they'll blend it, or they don't even need to blend it if they've got all the other info, right? So if your ID number gives them your name, surname, and everything, and they use that data in a digital context to go and apply for a loan, and that loan is pre-approved and all sorts of things like that. I had a conversation with Suntum about it this week to say that it's an insurance thing in part, but at the same time, if there's no physical verification in that process, it's very difficult to see who's on the other side of that keyboard.
Yeah, because all the information kind of ticks the box.
It does.
Right?
The information checks out. So where the information cross checks, does the name match the ID number? Yes, it does. Does the name match address? Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Those tick box exercises happen because someone's effectively stolen your entire identity. In the past, we used to make fun of it saying, oh no, this is what they do with, and then you get married off to someone at Home Affairs or whatever.
Yes.
But it's much bigger than that. People actually lose their lives because now I have to go and prove
that it wasn't
me. That wasn't me. And that's police cases and all sorts
of. And I'm guessing that's why a lot of KYCs now are requesting you to do like a selfie.
A facial verification. Yes, enhanced due diligence and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite important because I think a lot of credit lines also are being opened. And I was reading on this LexisNexis thing. They speak about how much these people actually take time to nurture the profile for you.
Absolutely.
So it's a synthetic profile and basically they're adding and padding onto it. They're checking
a
your
social
credit.
Account.
Yeah, your credit score.
Yes.
I'm like, what?
It has to look believable.
Sure. All right. Let's leave that one alone because that's quite scary. Two-part retirement system is coming 1st of September. I'm actually a bit worried because I feel like there is not enough emphasis on the fact that there is going to be a SARS portion that you have to take in mind. So everybody's like talking about this 30,000 maximum that they can withdraw from their savings component, but you're not going to get 30,000 in your bank account.
Do the maths. Let's do basic maths on it, right? 30,000, even if you're being margined at a 33% tax rate, which is kind of the middle of the band, right?
Yes.
33% tax rate there, you are getting 20,000 net, right? If you're at the 45% tax bracket, that's almost 50%. You're getting just a little over 15,000.
Yeah.
Right. Fine. What are you going to do with that? The thing is, it's a once a year withdrawal.
Yes.
And for you to then withdraw that money, you have to build up that money. It doesn't replenish itself.
Yes.
And the proportion at which you are replenishing versus what you're withdrawing doesn't make sense. If you take a 3,000 Rand contribution, which is a significant contribution.
Absolutely.
2,000 of that goes somewhere. 1,000 goes into
the savings company.
12 1,000s over a year is only 12,000 Rand. That is still subject to tax. So even if you build up the savings pot over a 5-year period and it's not taxed, you only have 60,000 rand.
Sure. So, it's very interesting though to look at the numbers of what it would look like if you don't withdraw, because that's the other thing, right? Is that you do a calculation of how much you're going to get at retirement. But if you do withdraw, you almost ultimately are changing what those figures are going to look like.
110%. Sure. I think the numbers said that for every, I think it was for every year of contributions, the compounding, there was numbers. I'll come back to the stats and all that. But the point is you have to contribute on a consistent basis for it to compound.
Absolutely.
The moment you're withdrawing from that, you not only lose the compounding effect, you're never going to replenish and get back to that point. Because if you've compounded for 25 years, you suddenly withdraw, you've lost that. You don't have another 25 years to get back to that point. You know what I mean? So personally, and this is probably a very unpopular opinion around this two-pot retirement system, nobody should be withdrawing their money and putting it in a savings pot because it's useless. Not useless to you and I as individuals. That money can help people, but it is more detrimental
to
withdraw money.
Absolutely.
So that's the first unpopular opinion. The second thing is, I think the government made a mistake with this two-pot policy. I think what the government should have done is should have said, okay, instead of saying you can withdraw 30,000 from your retirement, we'll allow you to put in an extra 30,000 into your tax-free savings account, because that you can still access. That still has different kinds of benefits.
Yes.
Now, obviously, from a retirement point of view, the whole point of me saving up for all of these 20, 30, 40 years of employment is so that after that, I have money to retire on and to live on.
Absolutely.
And that standard of living is what I'm trying to maintain, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I'm dipping into that, by the time I get to retirement, it's not going to work,
diminish
right?
The quality,
So from a retirement perspective, and retirement funds will agree with this, this is not the way to go.
Mm.
The government, from a policy perspective, saying, oh, we're giving you access to your money and all of that. That's the same money that the government is going to want to use from PIC point of view to put into infrastructure development, to put into Eskom, to do that, to invest there. So I'm very against people wanting to withdraw from this two-pot system because they are very limited things that benefit you and I
as the consumer
from that perspective.
All right, I don't want to get you going with the two-pot retirement system and how passionate
you are. That's a whole other conversation.
Let's look at our wall in terms of what are we investing in and what we are putting on the wall. I think the first one for me is Growth Point. Their student accommodation REIT has thrived. They're doing quite well. They've raised a bond of 1 billion, right?
I'll pull the numbers for you. In the meantime, let me pull the chart and just give you my thoughts on it. Growth Point for me, I've loved Growth Point since 10 Rand. It's at about 12 Rand 50, 12 Rand 40 at the moment. Stock 2018, so about 6 years ago, was as high as 30 Rand. They survived a horrific pandemic on the office side. If you remember Growth Point's concentration to the office spaces in Sandton in particular, it was insane.
Yes.
They've gone green. They've rejigged the business. The property space is now back in favor. Investors are going back into there. For me, Growth Point is a buy.
It's a buy. It's a definite buy. Okay. Let's go to Pepco. We're talking about credit interoperability, investing 3.1 billion in credit book. Is it working? Would you buy it? Is it looking good?
I've loved Pepco for the longest time. A couple of reasons why, and I'm going to pull the stats for you.
Okay.
As I pull the stats, just bear with me. Pepco is one of the businesses that covers the right kind of LSM and covers it across many service points.
That's
right?
True.
The majority of the South African population, Pep brand, the Ackermans brand, they all sit within the Pepco stable.
Mm-hmm.
They've now recently launched into sort of the business side of it for smaller businesses and everything through Paxi and the logistics stuff. But they have one of the largest footprints of a retailer in the world. They have more stores and they're opening more stores. I think they've got more than 5,000 stores, if I'm not mistaken. So their footprint is massive. They know how to leverage it. And interestingly enough, this is the stat I wanted to find. The GNU being announced. There was an announcement of GNU, then there was a subsequent flow of funds into South African shares.
Mm-hmm.
Now, amongst that, there was a flow of funds in and a flow of funds out. Naspers was one of the most sold shares. The banks were all of the most bought shares.
Wow.
In the billions.
Wow.
And Pepco topped that.
Wow.
The net inflow, net sales of Naspers shares was 2.1 billion out of Naspers shares.
Yes.
Right? Into the banks. All the banks, the most, the biggest bank was First Rand and Bidvest at 1.9 billion.
Wow.
Anglo Gold, net inflows into Anglo, 2.1 billion Rand. Net inflows into Pepco, 3.3 billion.
Wow. Okay, it's a definite
There's
buy.
Your answer.
It's a definite buy. Before we wrap it up, can we quickly go to Nike?
Yes, we can. Nike's been going through quite a bit along with Adidas. Mm-hmm. The Chinese market is a big contention point for both of them. It makes up 15% of either one's revenue. Mm-hmm. And they are going through legal battles. So Nike's going through a class action suit while Adidas in China is going through a bribery investigation of sorts and all of that. I did an analysis on both as part of the apparel space with Lululemon thrown into there. Mm. What I'm loving most about Nike is that they're trading at $90. They're trading at the most affordable level of all three.
Yeah.
It's a buy for me.
Yeah, it's a definite buy for you. All right. I think we'll wrap it there for today. Next week, let's look at taking up credit line to invest. To build an investment portfolio. I think that'll be an interesting one because right now we know that the only asset that you can essentially take out a credit line for is property. Mm. So could you do it for stock? Is it worth it? How do you do the numbers?
That's going to be a fun conversation. Looking forward to it. Thanks everyone for tuning in. That's unfortunately all we have time for in this session. We will keep going. We'll keep having these conversations. Remember to join our community page on X. Remember to join us on TikTok because
we're amazing on TikTok.
We've got an amazing producer and editor. We've got good content that's going out on TikTok. Yeah. We've got a YouTube channel where we put out the full conversations. We put them out as videos and we've got podcasting so you can listen to the audios of these conversations. Everything on all our socials is just under Insider Exchange. We've kept it simple. Until next time, investing isn't hard. Just try it.